If you're planning to buy a new gaming console or, a laptop or even just a smartphone in the coming months, I actually have some pretty bad news.
Yeah, really bad news, honestly.
Right, because your biggest competitor isn't like the teenager standing in line ahead of you anymore. You are now directly bidding against multi-billion dollar AI server farms.
Which sounds completely crazy, but it's exactly what's happening.
Welcome to a custom-tailored deep dive where we basically take a massive stack of highly revealing sources and try to extract the actual signals from all the noise.
And we've got a lot of noise today.
We really do. Today, our stack includes the June 26, 2026 edition of the Tech Morning Newsletter, some highly sensitive leaked corporate documents, independent benchmark tests, and some fresh financial analytics.
And when you look at all these sources side by side, I mean, they illuminate a bizarre and frankly terrifying chain reaction. The whole technology sector is undergoing this massive structural earthquake.
Yeah. So our mission today is to uncover how artificial intelligence's just insatiable appetite for raw computing power is directly raiding your wallet, fracturing the global market, and causing some unprecedented panic within the federal government.
That's a lot to cover.
It is. We are looking at a historic consumer tech crunch here. Okay, let's unpack this, because if you want to understand why upgrading your living room tech is suddenly going to cost you a fortune, we have to look at the invisible forces driving these cutting-edge AI breakthroughs.
Exactly. You have to follow the money and the hardware.
Right. So let's start with the immediate pain, which is the price hikes. Microsoft is raising Xbox prices globally on August 1st.
And honestly, the word raising almost feels too mild for what Microsoft is doing here.
Oh, it's a massive jump. I mean, the Series S is going up by $100 to hit $499. The Series X is jumping an astonishing $150 to land at $800.
Just wild.
And that 2 terabyte model they were teasing, canceled entirely, just gone.
Yeah, they pulled the plug on it.
And Apple has followed suit, basically abandoning their traditional predictable pricing tiers. They just raised Mac and iPad prices by an average of $247, effective immediately.
Right.
Some MacBook Pro models are up by $300. I mean, this is the biggest single price hike in Apple's entire history.
And Tim Cook actually had to release a statement saying these hikes were unavoidable because the consumer pushback has been severe.
I bet.
Oh, yeah. People on Reddit and tech forums are just furious. They're asking, why should they pay $800 for an Xbox when previous generations always got cheaper over time?
Wait, so me buying an Xbox for my living room is directly competing with OpenAI, building a massive data center? It's almost like AI companies are this massive whale swallowing all the krill in the ocean, and consumer tech companies are just the small fish left starving.
That is exactly what's happening.
But how does that actually work on a mechanical level? I mean, an Xbox isn't an AI server.
No, but it comes down to the shared raw materials, specifically memory. To build these massive AI data centers, the ones powering the frontier models from OpenAI, Google, Anthropic, FAIR, you need astronomical amounts of high-speed RAM and solid-state drives.
Right, because they have to process so much at once.
Exactly. AI doesn't just, think inside a processor. It has to hold these massive data sets in active memory constantly to calculate all the probabilities. According to our financial sources, AI data centers are now consuming roughly a third of total global memory production.
A third. I mean, the global supply chain just cannot stamp out enough silicon wafers to support that kind of sudden demand.
It physically cannot.
Did not years to build.
Years. So a brutal math equation takes over. The AI companies have nearly bottomless pockets right now, and they are buying up all the high-yield memory chips.
So they just outbid everyone else.
Pretty much. The cost to acquire RAM and SSD components has spiked by over 65% in just the last 6 months.
Wow.
So Apple and Microsoft are simply hitting a wall. They cannot absorb those component costs without wiping out their profit margins entirely.
Which explains why Microsoft canceled the 2 terabyte Xbox.
Yeah.
Adding that much premium storage right now would probably push the retail price close to $1,000.
Easily. And analysts are already predicting that Samsung, Dell, and Sony will be forced to follow suit. So the relevance here for you, the listener, is really stark. The era of cheap, deflationary consumer electronics is over.
That feels incredibly bleak, like really bleak.
It is.
But I guess there is an upside to this pressure cooker, right?
Yeah.
Because if massive AI models are making the physical hardware too expensive to buy, the tech industry is essentially being forced to find a way to do more with less.
Right, they have to rethink the software itself.
Which is driving this really fascinating pivot away from sheer size and toward hyper-efficiency.
Exactly. Amidst all this doom and gloom, the Tech Morning newsletter highlighted an MIT spinoff called Liquid AI.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they just released a model called LFM 2.5-230M. Now that 230M stands for 230 million parameters.
Which doesn't sound like a lot in the AI world.
It isn't. To put that in perspective, older models like GPT 3.5 have 175 billion parameters. This Liquid AI model is roughly 760 times smaller.
Wow.
Yet in specific tasks like data extraction, it's actually outperforming models four times its size.
The difference in scale there is hard to overstate. It's like comparing a pocket calculator to a supercomputer, yet the pocket calculator is winning at reading comprehension.
That's a great way to put it. What's fascinating here is the paradigm shift in the architecture. Intelligence is no longer just about brute forcing a problem by throwing thousands of expensive chips at it.
Right.
Liquid AI is using what they call structured state space models.
Okay, pause right there. What exactly is a state space model?
Yeah.
How is that different from the architecture of running something like ChatGPT?
It comes down to how the AI reads and remembers information. Traditional models, like the transformers behind ChatGPT, read everything like a giant continuous scroll.
Right.
So every time you ask a follow-up question, the model basically has to reread that entire scroll to understand the context.
No, wow. That sounds super inefficient.
It is. It requires massive amounts of active memory, which, as we just discussed, is incredibly expensive right now.
So a state space model works differently then?
Yeah, it's more like a highly organized, super efficient filing cabinet.
No, I like that.
Right. As you feed it information, it dynamically updates a state. It synthesizes what it reads, files away the core meaning, and then discards the raw text.
That makes so much sense.
So when you ask a question, it just pulls the exact file it needs without rereading the whole conversation. That is how they are achieving incredible speeds with so little hardware.
And the independent benchmark tests definitely back that up. This model runs completely locally, no cloud servers, no internet connection at all.
None.
It processes 213 tokens per second on just a Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra.
And for context here, a token is roughly 3/4 of a word. So 213 tokens is basically the AI spitting out a full paragraph every single second.
Completely offline on a smartphone.
Completely offline.
That is wild. It even runs at 42 tokens per second on a tiny, low-power Raspberry Pi 5. Plus, it has a massive 32,000 token context window, meaning you can feed it the equivalent of a short novel all at once.
Exactly.
So if the massive AI data centers are like heavy, gas-guzzling 18-wheeler trucks, Liquid AI and these small models are like hyper-efficient electric scooters. They're perfect for navigating the daily commute without draining the city's power grid.
That's spot on. And we really can't overstate how important that local processing is for privacy, too.
Oh, totally.
Because if the model runs on your phone, your data never leaves your phone. You could have this AI assistant analyzing your private emails, summarizing confidential medical records, or, you know, drafting sensitive business replies offline.
You just bypass the corporate cloud entirely.
Exactly. And even the big players are realizing they need to build scooters, so to speak.
Right. The newsletter notes OpenAI just dropped GPT 5.5 Instant, which is a lightweight model optimized for speed. It actually improved multi-message context understanding by 32%.
Which is a huge jump.
Yeah. So it can track complex instructions like changing filters while you're online shopping without losing the plot of the conversation.
However, there is a really deep irony here.
Okay. What is it?
Well, while these small models are getting incredibly smart and efficient for everyday use, those 18-wheeler trucks of the AI world, the massive unreleased frontier models, are getting so capable that they are triggering alarm bells at the highest levels of government.
Which brings us to the most explosive revelation in our source stack today. We really need to talk about the government lockdown on GPT 5.6.
This is huge.
It is. Our leaked internal documents confirm that the Trump administration has explicitly requested OpenAI to restrict its unreleased GPT 5.6 model strictly to approved government partners.
This is a watershed moment for the tech industry. I mean, it is the very first direct, explicit government intervention in a commercial AI release.
Wow.
Up until now, we've seen guidelines, congressional hearings, executive orders, but nothing actively stopping a company from hitting the publish button on a finished product.
Now, before we dive into the mechanics of why this actually happened, I want to pause and make something explicitly clear to you, the listener.
Right. Good call.
We are strictly reporting the facts as laid out in our source material. We are not taking political sides here. Nor are we endorsing the viewpoints of any specific administration, political party, or activist group.
Absolutely not.
Our job is simply to impartially unpack the reality of this situation.
And the reality comes down to the leaked internal safety tests, a process known as red teaming.
Okay.
When OpenAI's own security experts tried to break GPT 5.6 to see what it was really capable of, the results were highly, highly alarming.
Yeah, the documents show the model wasn't just generating text or answering questions. It was actively hunting for zero-day vulnerabilities in popular software.
Which is terrifying.
For anyone unfamiliar, a zero-day is a critical security flaw that the software creators don't even know exists yet.
Right.
There is no patch. There is no defense. And GPT 5.6 didn't just find these flaws. It successfully wrote functional exploit code to attack them.
And it doesn't just guess, either. The model is actually capable of reverse engineering compiled code, spotting memory leak patterns that human auditors easily miss.
That's wild.
But perhaps even more concerning was its performance in human manipulation. In simulations of social engineering and phishing attacks, GPT 5.6 had a 67% success rate.
Meaning it successfully tricked 2 out of 3 humans it targeted into handing over sensitive data.
Exactly. Think about what that looks like in a corporate environment. It isn't sending out generic emails with bad grammar from a fake prince.
Right. It's not the old scam emails.
No, it is analyzing a target's online presence, understanding their corporate hierarchy, and crafting the perfect context-aware message that perfectly mimics their boss's tone.
That is so creepy.
The government's fear is that releasing a tool this powerful to the public drastically lowers the barrier to entry for advanced cyber attacks.
Because you no longer need to be a highly skilled hacker to cripple an infrastructure network. You just need to prompt the AI to do it for you. And the reaction to this government lockdown has been fiercely split across our sources. On one side, cybersecurity experts are praising the move. They're calling it a deeply responsible, necessary step to protect national security.
Which makes sense from their perspective.
It does. But on the other side, freedom of information activists and open source researchers are really sounding the alarm. They warn this is just the beginning of government censorship and an attempt to monopolize control over advanced AI research, essentially keeping the most powerful tools out of the public's hands.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the implication is just profound. AI has officially crossed a threshold here.
How so?
Well, the frontier models are no longer viewed simply as tech products, like a new smartphone or a search engine. They are now being treated as regulated national security assets, basically akin to weapons-grade cryptography or aerospace technology.
That is a staggering shift in how we categorize the software running in the background of our lives.
Yeah.
But, you know, while GPT 5.6 is locked behind government red tape, the commercial battle for the current generation of AI is experiencing a massive upset.
Oh, yeah.
The market is fracturing. Let's look at the pro-user rebellion.
This is honestly my favorite part of the financial analytics report. I mean, everyone knows the name ChatGPT, right? It has the mass market brand recognition.
Obviously.
But Anthropic's model, Claude, is quietly stealing the highly lucrative professional market right out from under OpenAI.
The numbers are wild. Spending on Claude has grown 75% since January 2026.
The massive growth.
ChatGPT spending growth in that same period, just 28%. And look at the mobile conversion rates. On iOS, 13% of people who download the Claude app end up paying for a subscription. For ChatGPT, that conversion rate is sitting at only 8%.
But the metric that truly exposes the shift is revenue per user, or RPU. Claude is generating $2.76 per monthly active user. ChatGPT is only generating $1.74.
But wait, let me push back on that a bit. ChatGPT has over 200 billion monthly active users, while Claude only has about 15 million.
True.
Does this revenue per user metric actually matter if OpenAI has just the sheer overwhelming volume of people?
Oh, it absolutely matters. We have to look at the hidden economics of AI infrastructure here.
Okay, break it down for me.
Every single time a user types a prompt, a server somewhere burns electricity and compute cycles. High volume with low conversion means you are paying astronomical server costs for millions of free users who just want to, you know, write a funny poem about their cat.
Right.
It's a massive financial drain.
So OpenAI is essentially subsidizing a massive public utility.
Precisely. But Anthropic is playing a totally different game. Claude's higher revenue per user means they are successfully capturing the deep work sector.
Meaning the professionals.
Yes. The lawyers, The academic researchers, the financial analysts, they are actively choosing Claude, and they are happy to pay premium subscription rates for it. It's basically the difference between running a free public library and an exclusive corporate consulting firm.
But why are they choosing it? What is the architectural difference that makes Claude better for a lawyer than ChatGPT?
It really comes down to focus and memory capacity. Claude Pro offers a 200,000 token context window. ChatGPT Plus currently limits you to 32,000.
Oh, I see. So to use a metaphor, ChatGPT Plus right now is like a brilliant assistant with short-term amnesia. You can hand it a giant 500-page legal brief, but by the time it reaches page 10, it starts forgetting what was on page 1.
Exactly.
But Claude's architecture is like an assistant with a massive desk who can lay out all 500 pages at once, view them simultaneously, and actually see the connections.
That is an excellent way to conceptualize it. A developer can upload an entire software code base into Claude, and the AI can analyze the whole thing at once. Plus, independent testing in our sources shows Claude makes fewer logical reasoning errors in complex tasks.
And it explains its analytical steps more transparently, right?
Yes, exactly.
So Anthropic isn't even trying to be everyone's casual chatbot. They are building a high-end tool for serious professionals, and it is working. DataCamp reported that searches for Claude training are currently triple the demand for ChatGPT courses.
Which is a huge indicator of where the market is going.
Yeah. Professionals are actively choosing quality, precision, and privacy over mass market quantity.
Anthropic monetizing the deep work sector basically proves that the AI market is maturing. It's fragmenting into specialized tiers, just like every other mature software category before it.
So what does this all mean? We have covered a lot of ground today.
We really have.
From skyrocketing hardware costs driven by the silicon vacuum, to hyper-efficient local models.
Yeah.
From government lockdowns on zero-day hunting AI to the financial battle for the professional market. Let's bring all these threads together for you, the listener, into the new normal.
Well, the most immediate practical impact is definitely on your purchasing habits. The traditional 1 to 2 year tech upgrade cycle where you buy a new phone or laptop just because a slightly faster one came out, that is dead.
Completely dead.
Because AI is driving component prices up so aggressively, consumers should really expect to hold onto their devices for 4 to 6 years.
Which honestly requires a total mindset shift. Based on the financial reports we reviewed, we have some very actionable advice for you. If you genuinely need a new device, like your laptop is fundamentally broken or your phone battery is entirely dead, buy it now.
Right now.
Take advantage of upcoming Prime Day or Black Friday sales because the analysts at Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley agree. Prices are not going back down. The cost floor for electronics has been permanently raised.
Furthermore, the official refurbished market is about to become the smartest way to shop.
And we aren't talking about buying a sketchy, scratched-up phone off a local classified ad, right?
No. We mean manufacturer-certified refurbished products. They come with full warranties, brand new batteries, and they offer 20 to 40% discounts off these new inflated retail prices.
That's a big deal.
It is. In this new high-cost economy, certified refurbished is going to become the standard way professionals buy hardware.
It is all about adapting to the squeeze.
Yeah.
But as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a final, slightly more provocative thought to mull over.
Okay, let's hear it.
We've talked a lot about how these price hikes are a frustrating inconvenience for consumers in places like the U.S. or Europe. But our sources highlighted the severe impact on developing markets, where currency exchange rates and import taxes already make technology super expensive.
The math there gets very grim, actually. In parts of South Asia, North Africa, and Sub-Saharan Africa, these new base price hikes mean a standard entry-level laptop could now cost 30 to 60% of an average person's annual income.
And that raises a lingering question. If basic consumer tech, the very tools required to learn to write code and to participate in the modern digital economy, becomes an unattainable luxury item solely because of AI's massive hardware demands.
Yeah.
Are we accidentally building a permanent, insurmountable global digital divide? If the next generation of potential innovators and engineers in developing nations are entirely priced out of even owning a computer, who gets to invent the future?
That is a profound structural question about the hidden costs of our rapid progress.
The landscape of the technology sector is fundamentally changing. The AI hardware vacuum is pulling resources from every corner of the market, and the only thing we can really do is understand the forces at play before they hit our wallets. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.